York of New York, Tony Ayo.
It's your boy Lloyd Banks. You know what I'm saying? And you're not rocking with Dub CNN. You know how it goes down.
G, you net.
Yo. I'm good. What's good?
What's going on, man? Everything good?
Everything good. Everything great. All right, so, I mean, since you guys, like, already tour most of the countries on the world, is it, like, still a special thing? Like, are there, like, any special moments to you, like, on the road that you never experienced before?
Most definitely. Well, some of these places I'm going to for the first time. A lot of them I've been to already, you know, with 50, and some of them I've been back to by myself. But this trip is my first time going to Angola, my first time going to Tanzania. Sir, everywhere else I've been, but, you know, even when I'm going there, some place I've been before, this is his first time coming to a lot of places, so that has a significance in its own right there, you know, because it's one thing just being out there and not having nobody, you know, really to experience the time with, and then it's another thing to be out there and have your crew there, so those are the things that we're missing that's kind of here this time. First, we went to Australia through Sydney, Brisbane, Gold Coast, Melbourne, and then New Zealand, and then from New Zealand to we went back to Africa.
Okay.
For Tanzania, Angola, it was great. Cape Town, you know, where they kept Nelson Mandela locked up for like 27 years. Got a chance to visit that prison, so it was kind of a very interesting trip.
Yeah. Okay. But as far as like performing with the audience, is it still the same thing? Like as far as in Africa.
Yo, man, let me tell you something. You go overseas, the further you go, the more you appreciate it. It's because they don't get a chance to see you as much as the local towns and the cities, you know what I'm saying? So when you go out there, it's like they don't know. They're surprised that you even came, and they don't know when's the next time you're coming back. So they're giving equal energy because you don't know when the next time you're going to be back to those markets. So when you get there, you're performing your heart out. And, you know, and we're on stage. Really, our requirements are is an hour, and we end up on stage for an hour and 45, sometimes over 2 hours on stage. So, and that's just due to the energy that we get from the crowd. You know, it's an amazing thing that the music breaks language barriers. Like, I've been through the whole China, Korea, Japan, Africa, the whole Europe, been so many different places, Russia, and you hear them, you know, actually speaking your words. So it shows you how far we've come.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of touring, a good promo tool you've been using is on the road is the This Is 50 outlet. I guess it's even easier for you guys to showcase new music and videos. How would you compare the avenues of a new artist nowadays compared to, like, say, someone coming out 15 years ago, like, that didn't have that kind of help with the internet and all that kind of stuff?
It has its flaws and its pluses. You know what I'm saying? The pluses is that you're actually able to benefit off of the same audience that was bootlegging and downloading anyway. So you take them and you feed them now.
Yeah.
It's the same thing in the streets. Like when people couldn't afford to go pay $16.99 for a CD, they would pay $4 to $5, maybe even $3 from the local bootlegger. And you know, and now it converted from that to the actual PC now. And more people are on computers than they watch TV, which is giving them on demand on their computer. So they can just download and take one record off the album that they like and not even have to purchase the album. So I think that, you know, with thisis50.com is giving people an idea of how to take the negative side of the downloading and everything and turn it into a positive with being able to feed them, you know, directly. And it also gives the opportunity for the people all through the UK and South America, everywhere, to actually hear the music the same time that New York City hears it. Because this is being launched on a worldwide base, so you know. But it changed, like you said, you know, 15 years ago. I don't even know what the business is like. Like 15 years ago, you know what I'm saying? I was still in school, but I know now that you just have to adapt. The same way it went from vinyl to tape to CD to MP3 to iPod. You know what I'm saying? You just got to stay on your toes and find the best way to capitalize off the way technology is changing.
Yeah. Okay. So the G-Unit crew is down to its founding members again, 50, Yayo, and you. How was the chemistry during the recording process of the album?
Oh, the chemistry, it's a beautiful thing, man. It's something that it's the chemistry that I've come to be comfortable with, and it's the only one I really knew. I never really recorded with too many artists outside of my core and the people that I came into the industry with. Not saying that I wouldn't, but, you know, we've been having so much success on our own, and we never really stopped touring. So it was no opportunities to even be in the studio with producers. You know what I'm saying? So it's to the point where now they're coming back to that same core. It's something new also, because J.O. was a point where he was incarcerated and he wasn't here. So that's like a breath of fresh air all over again. Unfortunately, Buck is not in the equation, you know, due to a fallout, you know, with 50 and everything. He's still on Dream and the Records, and he's still on the album. He's on like three or four records on the album, so, you know, his performance is still there. But, hey, nothing stays the same, and it's back to the three-man core that they, you know, that got us here, so it's just time to take it from here to another level.
Yeah. So how'd you compare the Terminator on Site to Beg for Mercy?
Oh, man, well, Beg for Mercy, it has similar content, you know. We come from the same vein, you know, we grew up together, so it doesn't really matter if we're in Africa recording or wherever we are recording, the songs are always going to be really based off what is coming from my neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? So the vibe is kind of the same, because situations don't change, man.
Yeah.
Only the faces, you know what I mean? So we're going through the same struggles, we're going through a lot of the same struggles, and it'll all be through this album, and the only difference is that on the first album, It was really me, Buck, and 50. You know, Yayo was like on one or two songs, and now it's kind of like six.
Yeah, right.
Like me, Yayo, and 50, and Buck is on a select few record.
Oh, I could tell you all that. Well, with me, I mean, for the Beg for Mercy album, I was incarcerated. I was
right.
Texas Island. Shout out to Prodigy. He locked down right now. And, you know, I wasn't really on the album. I was only on two songs. On Terminator on Site, which is coming out July 1st. I'm on there, Banks, we was in the studio all together, and wasn't no Jimmy Iovine or Steph Johnson or anybody over our shoulder telling us what to do or make radio-ready records. These records are straight for the street. You know, we got a couple of joints for the clubs, you know, from Swiss Beats and Dangerous LLC, you know, records Banks brought to the table, as well as me. Me and Banks really A&R'd the project, so I think that's the difference between that and Yayo's on the album. So, I mean, you know, I was only on two songs for Beg for Mercy.
Okay.
You know, but at the same time, we are creative. We make records like, I Like the Way She Do It. We make records like No Days Off, like Death Around the Corner, Partying Over, fun records like the I Get Down, Swiss Beats record. You have to be creative and able to make a complete record. Mm-hmm. You know, ladies listen to music too. You know what I'm saying? Got to have records that cater to all kind of markets. But,
that's right.
You know, for the most part, the bulk of the album is aggressive. And I think it's the time. Like Ye said, it's the time, man. Crime is up, murder's up, everything's up.
And there's a struggle everywhere. That's why when
economy's down.
Yeah, that's why Banks, when we go to like markets like Angola, these dudes is bopping that to you know, joints off of my album and 50 album, because it's aggressive where they from. You know, like when you go to Africa, they not snapping and popping like they out there like that. You know what I mean? They going through the everyday struggle. They fighting for shoes and hats and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I mean, so when you see three dudes that came from the bottom and they're the number one rap group in the world and brung along, and don't forget what we did for L.A. and down south, because we created, you know, artists like Game and Buck. You understand what I'm saying? For us to branch out over the world overall, you know G-Unit's going to give you some good product July 1st. T.O.A. You know that's for a fact. You already know. Rider Part 2, everywhere you go. Wow. That was a mixtape record that went straight to radio on its own. And then I Like the Way She Do It. Everybody loves that. The new producer, Stereo. We giving new producers chances. I mean, come on, man. Look what we did for the mixtape game.
Did the feedback from the recent mixtapes give you any like extra inspiration on what direction you want to go with the album songs?
Of course, I'm glad to hear the fans telling me I stepped my game up. But sometimes I take it as a smack in the face, because I feel like I've been hot. I just feel like they didn't have a chance to hear me. Because on Thoughts of a Predicate Felon, so 800,000 while I was on house arrest. I was on fed probation and state parole. You understand what I'm saying? And people didn't get a chance to hear me. So, you know, the feedback from Elephant in the Sand and Return of the Body Snatchers is crazy. But, you know, when I'm in a studio with monsters like 50 and Banks, I'm going to go hard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To me, that's my biggest competition, 50 and Banks and Eminem. And, you know, Dr. Dre, when I'm in the studio with these guys, those are the guys that are my competition. So when they go hard, I go hard. And you're going to hear it, the hunger from Banks, me, and 50 on TOS.
Okay.
My first.
Okay, so you were naming some of the names on it. Like, can you give a little rundown of who's, like, as far as features and producers on?
You got Polo the Dawn on there. You know what I'm saying? You got Dangerous LLC on there. You got Swiss Beats on there. You got a lot of new producers on there. Shout to Stereo. He's on there. You know what I mean? And then, as well, collectively on the album, you know, you got a couple of surprises, but you got Lloyd Banks on there. You got 50 on there, me.
I mean, that's enough right there. Myself, yeah, 150. I mean, that ain't enough. Plus, we don't really, like I said, we don't really compromise for, you know, what everybody else is doing. If the record's hot, it's hot. But fortunately, we've been touring and we've been on the move a lot. So it's not really a lot of time to go fly to Miami or fly to Atlanta and sit with these producers and things. Even those beats came, with the exception of Swiss Beats. Like, all the other records got done in the studio with us there. Like, you know, we're not going to force any features or anything like that. You know what I mean? Just stick to the core.
And, you know, we let Young Buck eat still, so, you know, he's on a couple of songs, like three.
Okay. Was he, like, original on, like, all the songs and was, like, later on removed, or...
I mean, well, what happened was, like, at the process of us doing the album, Buck was just bugging out. You understand what I'm saying? So the songs that he was on was left there. It's like nobody took him off any song.
Okay.
Just that he was doing what he wanted to do. While me and Banks was in the studio working, I guess he was doing what he wanted to do, and that's a part of him, you know, moving on to do his solo project, because he's still on G-Unit label. He's just not in a group collectively, you know? Him and 50's going through their things, but to me, I feel he was bugging out. This guy's crazy sometimes, you know?
Okay.
Sometimes people let things, money and women and fast cars get to their head.
Yeah.
You know? But you got to keep yourself level. Never forget who you are and where you came from, because I remember not having... I remember, you know, being on the corner south side with Banks dreaming about this. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when 50 took Buck from, you know, from the U2P setting, because obviously nobody even knew him when he was around Juvenile.
Yeah.
That's a blessing right there. Not only the millions of dollars that he made.
I mean, well, you gain and loss, you know, to a certain extent, because it was a time where it existed before him and it exists after him. You know what I'm saying? So... Of course, it's evident, you know, the groundwork that he's put in and been around. He's been around for like 5 years, you know what I'm saying? But the way, so when you say that, it just makes you wonder, like, then how the fuck did it just go left field so fast? Nobody planned this. Like, nobody planned and said, yo, well, one day we're going to wake up and Buck is not going to be involved with the group.
I mean, I don't understand how people just can't see the situation for what it is. You know, the guy, I guess he's tired of being who he was in his career, tired of being around a unit. He wants to focus more on himself. Let him focus on himself. It's not like it was a disrespect, like we told him, Buck, get out of here. Dudes sit around and want to be 50 while Banks and Yayo want to be themselves. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to be 50. 50 is him. Eminem is his own entity. Dr. Dre is his own entity. I don't want to be them. I would love to sell as much records as they did. Hey, I wouldn't mind. You know what I mean? But a lot of statements that Buck made in his career was dumb. A lot of stuff that he said in the media was dumb. Like when he said he's going to sell more than Eminem, he's going to sell more than 50. I mean, it's good to think that, but sometimes things that you say in the media, you should think before you talk. You know, he gets on the radio and he claims that 50 doesn't call him. Jay-Z doesn't call Beanie Siegel or Freeway when he tells him he's dropping them off for Rockefeller Records. Them dudes don't even know what, some of them guys on that was on Def Jam didn't even know what his couch looked like. So, I mean, for, you know, as for relationships with 50, 50 embraced everybody from M.O.P., Mobb Deep, the Hot Rod, the Spider Loaf. They all got love. They all came to the house before, pop bottles, and do what they did.
And so, like, from the time on he left the collective, like, did that, like, influence... or maybe change the direction of the project at all?
Nah, I don't think it changes the tone for the album. You know, for the most part, if you listen to Beg for Mercy, it really wasn't no other. It's really like a New York sounding album, you know, as far as the production was considered. So it was kind of like in the vein of a New York kind of feel. So, you know, I don't think too much of that sound is missing. If anything, it's just, you know, from the artists that people have come to know as Young Buck, you know, that's what's missing from the album. You know, but outside of that, we still in the same vein. You know, me, Yayo, and 50, we grew up together. We come from the same neighborhood, shared similar experiences. So I think it's, I mean, everything happens for a reason.
I don't think it influenced and changed no direction at all because, you know, Banks is hungry. I'm hungry. You haven't heard us in a while. We got something to prove. It's always been G-Unit against all odds. It's always been G-Unit against the world. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't feel like it changed anything. Honestly, I'm getting really tired of Buck questions because I feel like this is the most media Buck ever got in his life.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's either you either with the unit and you get publicity or you go against the unit and get publicity. That's why I don't talk about Game really too much anymore because I know his game plan is to get publicity. His only thing, strategy, is G-Unit. You understand what I'm saying? That's why when XXL comes out with a magazine, the next magazine, instead of having Snoop or somebody on the cover, they throw Game on there. Because
yeah.
G-Unit was just there. So it's like these dudes, they go against 50 and go against us just to get publicity. Because it's the most publicity you guys give them in their life. And y'all wonder why I don't do it, because I'm not going to sell my soul to the devil for publicity, for the industry, for nobody. I'm going to be me. I'm going to enjoy my life. Well, like with the Buck situation, I don't speak to Buck, period. He doesn't even know what my new son looks like. It's really nothing to talk about. I feel like the relationship I had with Banks and 50 is way different from the beginning because Banks lived right around the corner from me. I knew him my whole life. I know his mother. I know his grandmother. I could go over there and get a slice of cake when he's not there. You understand what I'm saying? 50 as well. You know, I know his grandmother. I know all his family. You know, Buck, he was put into a good situation while I was incarcerated. And, you know, I feel like he should be more appreciative towards Banks and 50 because, to me, those are the two people that made him. You understand what I'm saying? When he was on a bus with Juvenile on UTP, you didn't know Buck. They was calling Buck Yayo. So, I mean, like to me, like sometimes I just look at it as a smack in the face when the media says, yo, why y'all kick him out the group? Because he's making it seem like we're the bad guys. How are you the bad guy when you collectively made over $5 million? How are we the bad guys? When you owe $5,300 right now because you had tax problems. How are we the bad guys right now? Tell me, how are we the bad guys when we was focusing on the album and you was running around focusing on yourself? You know, sometimes people let media and people get to their head. Me, I'm not going to let it get to my head. Because I say F the media, I say F Interscope, I say F everybody except for Banks, 50. It doesn't matter to me because, you know, that was the circle that we are the ones. I think they forgot that. Me and Banks helped make this empire. You understand what I'm saying? It before Buck was around on the first beginning mixtape. You understand what I'm saying? So when he goes around talking, pleading for sympathy from the media, it kind of upsets me because you shouldn't be pleading for nothing. Your house in Cashville that you have is because of 50. The girl that's braiding your hair is because of Banks. The girl, the babysitter that you got is because of G-Unit. You understand? Everything that you have is collectively from the unit. So basically, that's what it is, but it's no love lost for Buck. It is what it is. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, for sure. The beat to Rider Part 2 was originally a 40 Glocks Hammer track. What's the story behind it becoming a G-Unit track?
Yeah, 40 used the record before. He never purchased the beat, though.
Oh, okay.
He never purchased the record.
I think it was just a coincidence, right, Bang?
it happens a lot.
Yeah, that happens a lot there's an album, actually, TOS, that's on the album. That's crazy is that it's produced by Ty Fife, shout to him. Actually, Banks had to be in his studio, 50 had to be in his studio. And
yeah, we did three separate records to it and then came together and just made one.
It was all done in three different places for that one song. That's what makes that song kind of special to me, that we all picked the same beat. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
Think alike, you know?
Okay. G-Unit started expanding a lot after the success, like after the first album, and now kind of shrunk again. What do you think is the reason behind that?
I mean, I feel contractually, everybody is still on G-Unit, from Hot Rod, MOP to Mobb Deep. Prodigy, shout to him. He's incarcerated now in Downstate Correctional Facility with my man El Dorado. Shout to them. You know what I'm saying? Havoc, he's still making beats. MOP, you know, they just have their little issues where they have to get their stuff together. They're contractually still with G-Unit, and as well as Hot Rod and Spider Loke and everybody else. So it's not shrinking. It's just going back to the original format where me, Banks, and 50's in the studio going hard. You know, and Buck, he's contractually under G-Unit, too. He's still on the label. So you could believe anything you want to believe, but You know, he's still on the label and he's still under the unit. It's like nobody did anything to disrespect Buck. These are all the moves that he wanted to make. He complained about royalties. I never had a royalty problem, a publishing problem ever in my life. I never had no complaints about it. I live in a $1 million home. You know, my house is about 1.5. And, you know, I mean, I own numerous properties. I have nice vehicles. You know what I mean? I live the life that you're supposed to live, being on June. So where we live at, we live in a nice neighborhood. It's probably like a half an hour or hour away from the hood. So, you know, I get to jump in my cars and go to the hood and see what's going on. The same people still on the corner. So for me, to be where I'm at and where we met, I'm happy, man. I'm good. If I die tomorrow, I'm good with where Tony Yayo's career is at and where G-Unit's career is at. We'll always be remembered no matter what. I feel like G-Unit is the number one rap group in the world, number one rap group, you know, towards the mixtapes in the industry, period. I feel like people just, you know, we got successful. You know, we came from not having nothing, and y'all seen us from the transition of having something. And then, you know, more money, more problems. So that's where we're talking about the issues that we have in the streets. Because ain't nothing changed. We still got issues. You know, Banks' father passed. You know, I went through some things. You know, with my mother, her house getting shot up. You understand what I'm saying? Last year. So it's like, you know, we got issues where our boy, you know, I got to bail people out. Friends getting in trouble. There's more money, more problems. You know what I mean? People just need a transition.
Okay. So would you say it's true, like, the more success you get, the more hate you get? From people, if it's like the industry fans or other rappers?
I don't think, you know, it's crazy. I really can't call it like an honest hate because people listen to the music. You know, like I can't remember the last group you called washed up, but you pay them more attention than any other group or any other rappers out there.
Exactly.
Like usually when you're washed up, nobody wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
They wants to interview you. Nobody wants to hear. Did you interview Ja Rule anytime?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're washed up, but nobody wants to talk to you. We're not washed up. We're just the most hated.
Yeah. Even against the world.
It is what it is, baby. But you can't stop this, man. This is a God-given talent, man, that we're putting, you know, sharing with the world, man. This is going to keep going until we decide for it to stop.
Yeah, do you share the same opinion?
Of course, man. I view it the same way. I mean, it's like he said, you're not interviewing Ja Rule right now. You're not interviewing all the other whack MCs. You're interviewing the number one group in the world. You know what I'm saying? We created the mixtape game when you really look at it.
Yeah.
Mixtapes was always there, but nobody ever did it in song format, and they never formatted the way we did with the guns on the cover and everything. Nobody did that. Nobody. We the ones that turned from guys wanting to beat up bootleggers to guys wanting to hug bootleggers because they blew their CD up in the store. We're the guys that took the mixtape level to a whole other plateau where everybody else want to put out mixtapes when we did it. We the guys that took a DJ Who Kid, and turned him into a universal DJ with his guys in Bahrain. He's in Dubai doing shows. We the guys that sold over 30 million records. We the guys that, come on, man. You know we the guys. Come on. I sold records on house arrest, sitting on my toilet. I sold 800,000. You know what I'm saying? We the guys that our mixtapes get downloaded online now. So anybody who does an online thing copied off of us, this is 50.com. We get over a million downloads on mixtapes. We sold more than Fat Joe's album. Elephant in the Sand sold more than Elephant in the Room online. Looking at it.
Yeah. That's crazy, huh?
Come on, we're the guys that tour nonstop. I haven't had an album out in 2 years, and I'm touring nonstop.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to realize it is what it is. We're the guys that's definitely going to give you a guaranteed hit. We're going to give you On Fire. We're going to give you Help. We're going to give you So Seductive. We're going to give you Just a Little Bit. We're the guys that made Game. We're the guys that wrote 6 records for him. We're the guys that made Buck also. You understand what I'm saying? So look at what we creatively did in hip-hop. And you know what? We're the guys from the bottom. That's the main thing. We're from Southside Jamaica, Queens. Now drive around in Bentleys. Banks just bought the Lambo. I mean, so you got to look at that. It didn't have no money. And now you collectively made millions.
Yeah.
I think our drive is the hate. G-Unit always been hated from the beginning. I mean, when 50 got blackballed from when he did How to Rob, I mean, 50 got blackballed with all his situations with Ja Rule and Irv and them when they was on top, you know what I mean, as well as us. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like Banks always talks about the resistance, and there's always a resistance with G-Unit. Like, our records would be the ones that got to be super, super clean. You know, we get different treatment than everybody, but to me, I wake up in the morning, and I always look at it as G-Unit against the world. It's been like that since I came home. It's been like that since the beginning, G-Unit against the world.
But regarding the G-Unit Group album, how often can you drop an album without losing quality? You know, because they say your debut album is the strongest.
Listen, let me explain something to you. They just feel like that because there's something new coming out. That's my opinion. But Banks could explain it to you better than me because he had a second album come out. So he can explain it to you.
I think time, you know, music marks time. You know what I mean? So the way you felt about your favorite album when it came out is because of the time and the place of your life where you was at. You know what I mean? If you was dead broke and you ain't had two pennies to rub together, you know what I'm saying? And the Biggie came out with his shit, he was saying similar things through his music. You know, he was telling you about that struggle. So the significance to for you and him might be a little stronger, more stronger than it is for artists that already had the money. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same transition. When you take an artist from going to that, and then he makes it, like when Biggie did Life After Death, that was after the money came. He was making songs like I'm Going Back to Cali and Hypnotized and I'm Fucking You Tonight. He was in a different space. He wasn't talking about give me the loot, the suicide thoughts. You know what I'm saying? So you have to grow. As your artist grows, you have to grow with him. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't mean the quality is not the same. It just means the subject matter changes a little bit. You know, but like you said, more money, more problems. You know, and still a struggle through the music. Every time I go through my neighborhood, I see somebody that it reminds me of how hard I worked and how, I can't say lucky because we put the work in, but how fortunate, you know what I'm saying, to actually be in the position to sit here and talk to you over the phone.
Yeah.